This conference is being recorded.
Hi, Lauren.
Hey, Lauren. You're walking the Fire Protection Board.
You're in there for 5 minutes.
See if we can all think about here.
You think?
Yeah.
That
is fine. Pick up fire.
Is it?
Sure, when they glad the thing is that you unscrewed it to hold the match to it.
How you doing?
Well, it's got a striker.
That's the red button.
You your winter clothes on.
Okay.
I can't see that. It's lit.
Heater in the house,
okay.
In the car, short drive.
Yeah. Okay. Through the agenda, we need to. I want to add the Walker Trash Collection Service under old business.
Okay.
Under the agenda.
Under old business.
The old business. Anything, other than that, anything else that you'd like to add to the agenda?
Yeah. Well, website.
Website's added under is in new business.
It is.
Yep.
Oh yeah, there it is.
I gotta get my glasses on. Okay. Anything else about the agenda?
I think we're okay. There he is.
A motion to approve the agenda.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. First is public comments. Anybody have something that we'd like to address the board about? Go ahead, John.
I've got the taxable income for the year for bingo. The deposit we make will never equal the taxable income. It's just all of the deposits include the donations. Donations, of course, are not taxable. So the taxable income, I have a breakdown of it right here. And also my bank budget, fees, and so forth. I might suggest that you try to find somebody as quickly as you can to take over bingo, simply because when you're sending your tax form, they have to know the name of the manager and the supervisor. If you don't find a new manager, I'll still be listed and I'm not on there. Now, I've got all the information and everything that you need for both bingo and brick sales. I'll help anybody that's going to take them over as much as I possibly can. So if you can find someone before the 31st of December to take over the bingo, that would be a lot better. It's been a pleasure working with you, and that's all I've got.
Thank you, John.
All right, John. Thanks.
Thank you, John.
It was a good job, too, John.
Thank you.
My favorite part was when you lost your balls. My favorite part was when you were losing your balls.
Anybody else? Okay. The activity this month has primarily been Greg and Lenny. I just can't
Lenny? Do
that. Yeah, I can't get that A out of my head with the newsletter. We'll be talking about that later. And so we just go into minutes. We have a copy of the minutes that was presented. And do you have any additions or appendums to make to the minutes you received? The changes, do I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Motion.
Who is that?
Do we need to make a note that John and Vic are absent?
Or yeah, okay. It's in the notes.
Okay.
All right. All in favor of the minutes as prepared or proposed?
Aye.
Opposed. Treasurer's report. You also, I didn't bring a copy of that treasurer's report with me. He put a. He's doing the treasurer's report differently now in terms of rather than making just a pro forma report of money in, money out. He's actually posting the profit and loss for the month, and it's on the website. I think it's been posted, and you got it. So are there any questions about the treasurer's report?
Nope.
And we're just, okay, motion to accept the treasurer's report as presented to you.
Motion.
All right. Any discussion about that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Fire chief report. Do you have a motion to dispense with the fire chief's report?
No, we're going to have it.
It's your meeting. That's cool. Okay, so the draft that I emailed out at the beginning of the week, there are a couple of changes, and so you've got the hard copy that includes those changes. Russ, I emailed you this morning with the version that I'm going to go through. It's kind of a long one. This was relative to the last few months. Calls. There are four calls this month, two medical, one structure fire, and one public assist. So that's that. Fleet. There's some issues here with the fleet. Patrol 81, this is good. This first one is good. Patrol 81 has been installed at Station 82. So that's all good. We've got a couple of guys, Gary Honeycutt and Tim McFarland, are full-timers up here, and they're going to take care of making sure that, you know, keeping an eye on it. Tender 82 had to go back to Central Yavapai Fleet Maintenance for a transmission problem. They sent a guy out here to look at it, deemed it not safe to drive. There were metal filings in the transmission fluid. Basically, there's two options, and the one that they are suggesting is a new transmission as opposed to them trying to build, you know, rebuild the one we've got. This would include a clutch. The current estimate, and I put in quotes, very close, is 3610, which is larger than the first number I sent out during the week, which was a very vague $3,000 figure. But so 3610 is a close number. So it's not drivable until, you know, either we do this or figure something else out. I think I said in my email this week that it's far cheaper than trying to buy a new tender, and the water portion of the tender works just fine in terms of, you know, the fire truck part. I don't know. Bill and Vic responded back, you know, to just go for it. But I don't know if you guys need to vote on it or not. Your call, but that's where we are. And the other item, much smaller and not the same urgency, Rescue 81 is going to need new front tires. Next up, training. October 20, we had a comprehensive after-action review of the structure fire we had with mayor's assistance. They assisted on the after-action review, not the fire itself. The fire went well from a safety and strategy standpoint, but we can learn from every incident. November 3rd training was a lot of fun. We did an obstacle course wearing the turnouts and the SCBAs with blackened face masks to simulate search and rescue in a structure fire. The attendance for both trainings was in the high teens. We've been getting very high turnouts for a while now, so I think that's pretty good. I'll be getting an outline from Mayor for the training that they provide to their department, seeking the same thing from other departments. Actually, I'll be getting that from Groom Creek as well, and this should further enhance the training that we conduct here going forward. I've reached out to Central Yavapai and heard back from them, surprisingly, about the possibility of their creating some sort of one- or two-day class that would be a follow-up to the thing that most of us took in 2012, the four-day class, if you guys recall. And, you know, that just seems logical that we continue to build on that sort of thing. I'm also, it's not here, but I've been in touch with Eric Creever, who's the training officer for Prescott Fire, and they're willing to work with us a few times a year as well. Arizona Wildfire Academy, the process for signing up has changed, and it's possible that PAWC may not be able to pay our way any longer. PAWC would like to, but the nature of the funding for this is slightly different, and they set a very low expectation. I've been in touch with them on this, and you know, they want to help us, but it's not clear to them that they can. The tuition is $65 a day. I put an email out to the group. Most classes are 1 to 4 days at $65 a day. I put an email out to the group. The visibility right now is that we would have something like 30 or 35 classroom days between, you know, everyone who wants to take it. Two guys have already signed up, and the academy, so not PAWC, but the academy has, because they filled out paperwork, has given them like 50% off their cost. So this is something that we're going to do for everybody. I don't know whether we should have any expectation that anybody else can get 50% off, But we've got two guys who already have, and that's 9 days of classroom right there out of what I think will top out at 35. So I'm just kind of warning the board, or Dick, if he were here, that this expense will be coming in the next few days. Mayor contract termination. I had an exit interview of sorts with Chief Brown and Battalion Chief McGee for mayor. They indicated a willingness to continue helping us as needed with trainings and with, you know, questions that we have. You know, the, going forward, the training, we're going to have a lot, outsource a lot of the training, you know, to the extent the community is interested. You know, we're very much aware that, you know, we benefit by working with other departments who benefit on multiple levels, and that's going to continue to be the case. Prescott Fire, this is really more follow-up from the structure fire we had, and to the extent the board wants to know this. I was able to get a lot of feedback from Prescott Fire on our structure fire. I talked to the engineer who was on scene at the gym and got a bullet-pointed email from Battalion Chief Lucas, who was the IC of the fire. I got both general and specific items to work on. Additionally, I met again with the engineer at Station 75 to get help on how to assemble a toolbox to place on Engine 86 in the event of another structure fire, which really that was more about relationship building than telling me we need a hammer and nails. But, you know, that was productive. A lot of good came from that. Last item on the report, Basinot Group met November 6th. It looked like the boots on the ground portion of the 2013 drill will either be in Walker or on Walker Road. This is good. In my opinion, any event like this that brings other agencies into our area is a positive for a couple of reasons, including that our area won't be totally unfamiliar should they need to come back during an incident. The date will be, for the drill, will be March 29th, which is a Friday, and there will be no live fire in case anyone is concerned about
that. Is
that
a prediction?
I'm sorry?
Is that a prediction
or a promise?
In terms of running the drill, we're not going to be prescribed burning anything.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
And I think that's all I've got. So any questions?
He's got
282. We don't need another manual transmission. We need an automatic transmission. We need the lowest rear end we can get on that dude.
Okay. Scott, you have any questions?
Are we in good relationships with Mayor? Were there any hard feelings about our separation?
None.
Sure. This is a side, and I don't know whether to bring this up here or not, but I'm going to bring it up here because we, Roger's report, and we talked about the structure fire, and having listened to the whole incident on the scanner, it became apparent to me that we have no way of, in a case where we have an absentee owner, which was the case in the structure fire, of notifying this person right away, and the IC didn't know how to get a hold of them, alarm didn't know how to get a hold of them. All they had was a road where they lived on, and it took me 5 minutes to go onto the database I got from the assessor's office and find out who it was, where they lived, and what the phone number was. And so, and the owner really wasn't notified about the fire until after the fire was over.
Incorrect. He called my house during the incident.
He did?
Yes.
The owner of the house?
How do you find out?
That I'm not sure.
And there was a lot of traffic on the radio.
Okay.
And nobody knew how to get a hold of the guy.
Well, that might be the case as far as traffic on the radio, but he actually, I mean, I was telling the story, but I think before he got here,
okay.
He called during in the middle of the incident.
Well, okay,
there.
Well, my point on this whole thing is that I feel like it would be valuable for us to have, it's a public record, a copy of the assessor's database here, so we could access that if we needed to find out about an absentee owner or an owner, because they have all the information there.
Okay. We talked about this before you came in. Okay. Anything else about the Parsons report?
No.
Okay. Greg?
No.
Russ? The only question I have, Roger, you're talking about the tires. I think all that stuff comes out of your budget. All those things are budgeted within your budget.
The tires definitely are, so
yeah.
Just disclose in
right.
The wall. That's
okay.
It.
And there's no question if you need the tires, you're going
right.
To buy the tires. And the transmission, to address Gene's question, I don't know that you can convert a manual to an automatic transmission
without
too much expense.
New bell.
So you can figure out what it costs.
Here's the guy that knows.
Okay. All right, Glenn.
We did a little checking on that a couple of years ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, Bob Curry and myself. And it's doable, and I don't remember all the facts anymore, other than I know that we could do it, and we could find a used system somewhere.
Okay.
I'll take that up with them, and if I need to.
Bob expedited, really. He's got a handle on it.
Okay.
It's a torque converter. Plus, the idiots aren't going to grind up the gears.
Okay.
So that torque converter can get you up a hill.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion about the fire chief's report? The training costs. Just quick figuring, and it may not be very good. You're talking about $2,000 if we had to pay the full boat for those 30 days, whatever it happens to be. And some of it will be cut in half if you think you get early registration and they go ahead and do that.
And it's possible that Powick will.
And they still have have money, but it's, so you're talking at the outside worst.
Yes.
$2,000.
Yes.
Okay. And I think that that's a January, February type commitment.
Well, we may need to start paying now. The registration's open, and so the scenario is that we're paying now and getting reimbursed later directly from Powick, as opposed to before Powick used to give money directly to. It's kind of they both receive federal money, and some, for some reason that someone complained about that, or that muddies their water somehow. I don't know how.
Okay, so is that within your training budget?
I don't know if the entire 2,000 is, but most of it is still budgeted.
Okay. So there's really not much.
We don't need to vote. It's just that
you need to do it. Okay. So then, if I understand it, we're asking Roger to determine whether or not you can convert this manual transmission to a automatic transmission. And other than that, are there any changes or discussion about the fire chief's report?
No, other than what I was discussing.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm glad you reminded me.
I don't know what you guys discussed
Okay. In the current circumstance, which may not always stay this way, is that I have the access. I have access to that list that you're talking about. I also have databases that gives me phone numbers for people. So for me, it's a relatively simple and inexpensive thing to do to find phone numbers for a person that's on that assessor's list. So if you're in the midst of something like that, the people who are in the midst of it don't really have time to make those phone calls. It'll take somebody like me or you or that's away from the incident. We just have to know that that's what you're looking for. And
that was, excuse me, Bill, that was my suggestion. And whether, you know, I wouldn't want to have the fire guy be here trying to figure out somebody's name here when he's needed to be out of the line. But my point is, you know, either myself or you, I have access to that list too. So it's like I could have picked up the phone and called the ICA or the alarm people. I just didn't know how to get a hold of them.
But I don't know. I don't want to call back into the alarm because they're also involved in the incident. But once they have a request come out that would see if you can find it, but if you want to make that as a mechanism for us, I'm basically available all the time. I'm very seldom gone.
Yep.
And I'm at the house and at the office. I have those databases, those private investigator databases that I drill into, and they have phone numbers available generally, which aren't available on the assessor's list.
Yeah, they're.
The phone numbers are on the assessor's list? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I went on there, got on Google, looked at my phone, where they live, and...
Well, then call Chuck.
I don't care. I mean, I'd be happy to help, but somebody, I think,
sure.
It would be nice to have a liaison, someone here, to say, okay. Here it is, you know. So,
all right. So do it in an interview. Call Chuck first. Call me second.
Okay, I mean...
Make arrangements with the alarm.
This didn't come to me during the incident that there was an issue tracking the guy down. So, you know, if I hear of something like this, then great, we can figure out a way to reach out to you guys. But, you know, I'm not saying it wasn't going on. I'm saying, you know, I was, you know, had my stuff on fighting the fire. So this didn't come to me. If it does, then great, we will.
I mean, the traffic was, they needed to find the person out, and the IC goes, well, we did. Or somebody said, well, when we talked to the fire chief in Walker, and he goes, well, I don't know his name. He didn't know your name.
Right.
And
I knew.
Yeah. And so they said, well, we can't do that, so we're going to have to go to Plan B, try to figure out, you know, that's what I'm just trying to
find. So that's an issue with the alarm communications and what they're going to do and how they're going to call.
As far as I'm concerned, the alarm people ought to have the assessor's list. I mean,
they do. I'm sure they do. But whether or not they take the time to do anything about it, so work on.
Yep.
They
okay,
so that is something to work on. Okay.
Okay.
A motion to accept the fire chief's report.
Yeah. Make the motion.
Who moves?
I move.
Okay, I'll second. You're the mover.
I'm a mover.
All right. I'm the seconder.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Committee reports. You have any committees that have been active? You have your planning committee?
We still don't have anybody for the Big Bug representative or Potato Patch. A name was given to me, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Carolyn.
I haven't had a chance to give her a call yet. She hasn't reached back.
Okay.
So I'll follow up on that.
Okay.
For the next board meeting.
And we didn't talk to...
and I did talk to Kurt.
And his answer was?
He couldn't find anybody, and he just took a new job, so he'd love to, but he can't.
Okay.
So
we may not have a Potato Patch rep for a while.
Okay.
Got we'll move forward.
And the newsletter, we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, Volunteer of the Month. You don't have to go very far. Actually, that's for Lonnie.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much.
And her husband, Greg. For Lonnie. That worthless trigger.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, you guys have been working on this newsletter. Plus other things that you've been doing here this past month, water contract that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, and the other things that you've been busy. So thanks very much, Greg, and thanks to Lonnie. He probably did 90% of the work.
Yes, he did.
And by accepting this, it means you have to run again and
oh, wait a minute. You have these back.
Okay, old business. Mayor contract, Roger mentioned it. I talked to Glenn Brown, and I owe him a letter. Basically, we have withdrawn from the contract. The contract has ended in August. We've just been continuing with a handshake since then. He confirmed to me that he's willing to help with whatever.
So ending as of?
We don't have to pay in November. We pay for October because they came for training, but then it's over with. We may get a bill for October. I think we will. I don't know if we were paying ahead or behind, but there may be one more $1,000 payment going because of October. That's over with. Any other comments about the mayor contract? I think it was very valuable. It helped us in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Articles of incorporation. I know last month we said we were going to send them to Mr. Whittington over there. I did not do that. This month just escaped me, and I didn't get a hold of Karash to make those pen and ink changes you're talking about. But I think you've handed the
bill. I sent him the most recent update last night, and I think he was already gone from work. But I gave him a copy of the first one, and I spoke with Bill yesterday, and he asked if he could just look at it.
Sure.
And so he's got the.
Is that what you're doing over there, Bill? Going through it now? Okay. You want to talk about it now, or you want to talk about it later? Okay. Okay. So you're kind of informally reviewing them and just getting some ideas. All right. I don't think there's any changes in what we had, except we were going to remove Karash had included himself in there as a statutory agent. That was just, I think, form. And then there was one section that we took some specific information out. Where it said the corporation can involve itself in, and it listed two or three things specifically. It said the corporation can participate in things that are legal for corporations to participate in, and it included a couple of three things, and we took those three things out because it was just too specific to be in the article.
The email I forwarded you has that information.
Yeah, right, and we will have a discussion with Bill about that. Okay, newsletter, anything else about the articles? A newsletter report.
It's done well and edited well.
It was extremely edited.
Very well.
Anyway, no, it's a word from Sir Speedy yesterday that went out in the afternoon run for the post office, so we should be getting it Saturday or Tuesday, I'd imagine.
Yeah, comes quick.
And I'll go ahead and forward a copy of it to the webmaster, whoever that is.
Yeah.
That point.
Yeah.
And, the
webmaster. And then have that in. You know, when we get to the website, I think there's a piece of this that you want to just look on the web newsletter and put it on the website. But I think the single most interesting thing in the newsletter this time around is going to be the survey. So this is a survey that all the Walker members hopefully will go in and participate. Tries to get a dimension on, you know, what the participation is for the Walker member, what the Walker member would like to see, a rating as to how the fire department is doing. So they probably our first reach out in this broad, and that will go out to everybody. We decided to go ahead and mail everyone a newsletter as opposed to electronically transmitting, just to make sure that we've got everyone's has it here. So it'll be interesting. What we'll do is we'll figure out a cutoff depending on how quickly these things come through and the participation. We'll digest the information reported as a board as it comes forward, and hopefully that will dovetail into the planning committee and then all the little groups, committees that we have after that. So please, everyone participate.
Any questions for Greg, Russ?
No.
Scott? Roger?
That's a good job.
Okay, what I'm going to do...
There's a lot of work on that. We really appreciate it. You should get Volunteer of the Month Award or something.
Yeah. Hey, I'm
extra pay, double the pay. Greg, what I'll do is and I did it before, is also send it electronically to the email list after, like, Tuesday or Wednesday. And I think people like getting the big thing. It's expensive, I understand, but mm-hmm. it's it seems to be more usable for people if they have it and something that they can read. But in the letter, in the email that I send, I will ask people to reply if they want to receive it electronically.
Yeah.
And see if we get, you know, as part of, you know, it's kind of informal survey type of thing. But and see if we get some kind of reaction back from
and
that.
We do that on the due sites, and, you know, we do have some of that information in the QuickBooks list, but
right.
Unfortunately that's not the main thing.
Okay.
The other thing is a suggestion on the website is to have a link in there once the person's in there, and have a little box in there,
right.
And they can go ahead and, as they go, maybe decide they want
right.
to check it. We just dump that off the list.
Okay.
You know, every time we have a dues drive or a newsletter.
Okay. Anything else about the newsletter? Cell phone support. Chuck?
Based on a recommendation by my neighbor, Andy Livingston, who designs and installs cell phone towers. You know, we were talking about no cell phone support here at the station, and so he suggested I get a hold of Verizon and the operations department. I got the network operations department, and it was very interesting. The guy called me back on a Friday at 4:30, so he was very interested in talking. And the deal is this. Andy told me, and he said, just tell him it's a public safety issue. Either you got to have a lot of people write in, or it's a public safety issue. So I made it a public safety issue. And so the gentleman, David, said, you know, we can do this, which is extenders. We have extenders. Nick has sold extenders to a lot of different people. And, you know, and residential extenders, you can get a couple of cell phones on. And then this guy said, well, there's a commercial. And Nick said, there's a commercial. You can get a few more cell phones on. I said, I was looking for something more reliable, you know. And he said, well, I can give you a name of a person I can refer you to. You can have a repeater built up here and pay for it. I said, or? He said, or we could get a repeater there at the station and we'll pay for it. But he said we would have to go through our funding channels and get an okay to do that. so I had a second conversation with him this past week. He looked on Google. He said, well, hoping you had a tower at the station we could just attach to. He said, all I saw was a flagpole. Can you attach to that or that joke? He said, no. I said, well, we would have to do something about building something. He said, now there's another possibility, and he had to run off to a meeting, but he said something internally here, because the tower would be expensive for them. But if we continue to push for the public safety issue, that is an option that we could actually, well, we could get a tower here.
How much money did they talk about on the repeater?
He didn't say. But we'll probably get to that. So right now I'm going to speak with him next Wednesday and see where they're going to go with it. But it's not out of the question that they could put a repeater in.
So you're still working on it?
It's going to be not a short process.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
We've been out
if it involves help. Money,
yeah.
it's not a short process.
Don't you have one of your own?
Yeah, it works sometimes.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better.
If you're within 10 feet of it, but you can't go to the end of the house.
Okay. And that's what I told Verizon. I want something with reliability.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that, there's also the Wilson, that works. Okay.
Yeah, but the repeater, I mean, for everybody in the basin, helps everyone.
Right.
They're just 100 feet away,
yeah.
Yeah, they can do it.
Okay, because I think Bill's going to talk about the alarm contract, if I understand right. I'll talk about the trash collection service out of order here a little bit. We were negotiating the insurance. They canceled the insurance. It's kind of a preemptive thing that they do when they change something in their policies.
They didn't cancel it. They're not going to renew it.
They're not going to renew it, right. But a non-renewal notice. But they are going to renew it. It's just that we won't know until the end of November what the renewal is going to be. And I don't know that they'll renew it either for sure, but he doesn't seem to think that's going to be a problem. But this just seems to be a thing that they do. Because what we're asking them for is not usual. If we were a business with our own trash, it would just be part of our insurance, the regular insurance. But because we're asking and allowing people to come and use our facility, then we're asking for insurance to cover those kinds of complications. And it's not, they don't have very many of those sorts of coverages. So the questions they ask about, do we have a landfill, and all access to, and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, we've weeded through a lot of that. But at any rate, that's working. And Patriot will take over. I got the certified letter back from Waste Management. They won't be here anymore. Patriot will take over. They'll do the recycling. So all that stuff is moving forward. And just to give you a heads up on what's going on there. And if this is an increase in the insurance, then it's a hit on the money that we can bring back here. Any questions about the trash? All right.
Just to open on the alarm contract, Roger came to me and with the contract.
Hang on a minute.
I'm sorry.
I hate to get the audience involved, but.
Because it's such a little one.
Yeah. Yeah, when it's
manageable. If you have a chance of having or whoever the new guys are, insurance themselves.
I have a call into them.
Okay.
And I haven't had a discussion with Sherry. Sorry about that. But yes, they may have some coverages for people like that. Alarm contract.
Okay, so Roger came to me with alarm contract and wanted to get sent over the bill for a signature. I sent it out to Bill. He was out of town at that time, and so we've had a couple of discussions since then, and I asked Bill to join us today for this particular reason, plus the fact that we haven't had him at a meeting, and he's volunteered to come today and sit in and listen to our foibles and whatever. So he's got some stuff on the alarm contract, which has got a couple of additional little things going on. Bill?
All right, thanks for having me out again, guys. Nice to see you. I've brought with me a waiver and consent that you may want to consider approving today so we can move forward, but I want to explain it first. Chuck did send me the dispatch agreement, and I perused it to see if there was anything new in it from the last time I reviewed it. I was involved in the writing of this, and when this came out, so I'm pretty darn familiar with it. But because of that, I represent an awful lot of players in it. So I have to be a little careful about conflict of interest situation, et cetera. I noticed in this agreement that it referenced a Schedule A that was intended to help articulate what your participation would be so that your fee could be set, but that Schedule A wasn't on here. Has anyone seen that? Is it part of what you intended to send me?
I hadn't seen it. Roger, have you seen it?
No, they just gave me what they did.
Yeah.
I think it was, the idea was that to correct the signature issue, but that since maybe we had already agreed to it, they didn't put on any attachments. But
you already signed one of these?
Yes.
Bill's signature is on the version that I gave to Chuck. Had Bill's signature on it. It was simply missing the secretary's signature, I believe, and they thought that it required our legal counsel's signature.
Well, also missing Schedule A, which is the document that articulates how you set your fee. So did they give you a fee? Is there a number?
We pay $5,000 annually.
How's that right there?
There's some sort of minimum threshold. It's based on proportion of calls.
Right, and that's Exhibit A.
And so basically, the way it works is your portion is either based on your number of calls or subject to a $5,000 minimum. So based on our call traffic, I think our fee would be like $1,100. That's what it was 1 year. But along with Groom Creek and Williamson Valley, I think Williamson Valley also, but definitely Groom Creek, it defaults up to the $5,000 annually, which we pay monthly.
With that background, let me back up from 30,000 feet. I typically wouldn't tell a client to execute an agreement unless you had all the agreements, including the exhibit that articulates how your fee is calculated. That just kind of like contract 101 stuff. It makes me feel good that you know what you think it'll say when you're done, but there it is. So as your lawyer, one of the things I do is look through these contracts to identify, to make sure you've seen everything you're supposed to see so you can improve it. It's a little weird if you sign off on a contract and it's complete what you signed in.
Well, it was a logical question. When you signed it, did you have Schedule A?
Well, we read through it the first time. They presented it. But I don't know what's on there in terms of the fee. But the fee was, I think, as Roger described it, in the stuff that we read through.
Well, then I have not seen that. So I can't tell you whether or not that's a fair representation of what Schedule A is. Somebody needs to know that and be sure of that. Because this contract has a one-year termination clause in it, and it has a capitalization recovery provision in it that will bind you to pay a capitalization recovery number even if you get out. And there's some things you need to think about. And those numbers are all contained within this exhibit. So you ought to see it. And
so who would you suggest we go to get that?
Well, the city should get it. I mean, they generate it. I also noticed that the agreement says it's effective in 2011. You mean that?
Wasn't this the same contract that
same
we started working on, like in 2010 or something?
Right.
Okay, so it just needs to be modified.
The timeline is squirrely, and I don't know why.
Okay.
Well, when they originally drafted this thing, it had a lot of Central Yavapai. They just cut and pasted from Central Yavapai, and they had left language in there for Central Yavapai, and this started a year ago.
Well, and this contract was intended to be used for lots of entities. It just so happens that CYFD, Prescott Valley, and Prescott were the main three players, and so they got together at the table, and they kind of generated something they thought all the smaller players would be okay with, and it did. You know, Mayor signed off, Black Canyon signed off, everybody signed off. So that's all fine, but there's obviously some things that need to be dealt with. You know, there's a date. There's Exhibit A, which is really important to understand. Someone needs to meet with you to talk about these three or four things I have alluded to here, just to make sure you're okay with them before you sign on. Having said all that, I'm not prepared to be that person because of this potential conflict of interest. One of the lawyers in our firm is currently the city attorney for Prescott. It's a weird thing. We're not normally there. Their attorneys, but they called up and said, look, our lawyer just quit. Can you send somebody over for 4 or 5 months while we're trying to hire a lawyer? So he's over there now just trying to keep them organized, and he has promised to stay out of anything fire so that he doesn't mess with my clientele. But the ethical rules in this state require that even though you do that, you have to have everybody sign something that says that's okay. So I have prepared a consent and waiver for the city to sign that says it's okay if I represent you. And I've prepared something for you to sign that says it's okay if I represent you on this matter to negotiate with them. Assuming you're okay with that, I brought one with me. You need to review and approve. I think I emailed it to you. Didn't
I don't remember if you did it.
Anyway, you need to review it and take a look at it. Okay, I'll give it to you right now so you can kind of see what it looks like. Would you hand that to Chuck? And so, I mean, I don't want to be cavalier about it because you need to be sure you're comfortable with this idea. Gene Neal, who's the attorney in our office, who's currently sitting in the city attorney's office, has what they call Chinese walled himself off, which means he's not supposed to even see this stuff. But if you'll, I noticed on this agreement you sent, his signature is on it. And so I picked up the phone and said, hey, Gene, what the hell are you doing here? You're not supposed to even look at this stuff. And he said, I didn't realize what it was. Somebody just put it in front of me and I signed it. So, well, that says something about how the city does business. But that can't be. Now you're going to require that I go to consents from everybody because your name's on this thing and you are technically part of my office. So thanks. Really appreciate that. And so at any rate, so that requires now I run this consent down through the chain of command at the city. Gene apologized. He turned the darn thing over to another independent lawyer in the office who will be the person I work with if I represent you on it. So if you're okay with the consent, I've already sent one to this other lawyer. He's going to have to run it by city council now. Thank you, Gene. So no doubt they'll sign off on that. On that, at that juncture, I am able to get together with whoever you want to go through the document to talk about the risk and talk about Exhibit A. So I know there's going to be a couple of cleanups. The date has to be fixed. I know there's a couple of things you have to be sure you understand. That 10-year capital expenditure thing's got to be looked at by somebody who cares besides me. And then somebody needs to look at Exhibit A with me. So you're on the, you know that the number you're paying is the number that you're going to get stuck with so that 8 months from now you don't get a bill for five times that, you wonder why, that kind of stuff.
And all the names on there were wrong. They were just all scratched out.
Yeah.
And other people signed it.
So now, in terms of my signature, the law doesn't require your lawyer to sign these things. Everybody does it. They all put my name on this stuff. All it really requires is that it be reviewed by the lawyer. And more specifically, it has to be reviewed by the government's lawyer. So technically, the only lawyer that has to review this agreement, if it's only between you and the city, is the city's lawyer. And that's what was going on when Gene signed this thing, but he should have assigned it to somebody else to do. Now, to his defense, he didn't review the agreement. He had no idea what he'd just done. That's kind of crazy.
Ignorance.
Yeah, it was a little embarrassing for him because, you either admit you did something wrong or you admit you failed to read something. I mean, just,
how do you pick?
Yeah, you pick your poison on that one, right? But my point is, you're not a governmental agency, so you don't have to have that same review obligation. That is a statutory obligation that is put on the governmental entities only. So if you were a fire district, you would both have to have a lawyer review. So you don't have to have a lawyer review. You certainly, even if you did have to have a lawyer review, you wouldn't have to have a lawyer signature. I personally think you shouldn't be signing a contract to bind you to these kind of numbers unless you have a lawyer review. But as a practical matter, since they always set this up for signature, you kind of have to go through some gymnastics to get them to take it off. And it's easier just to sign off on the darn thing if you're going to have a review. So if I'm going to review it for you, I'm happy to sign off on it for you. I just wanted you to know what the rules were. That's all I have to say on the review. If this consent's good, you guys need to approve it by motion. I was going to suggest to you that you also, to save time, approve by motion the form of agreement provided that receives appropriate legal review. But after having noticed that it doesn't have an Exhibit A on it, I'm not comfortable suggesting you give one guy the authority to bind you to that kind of contract. You probably need to bring it back to the board for that kind of a thing.
Okay. You just read this in a motion about approving it?
Motion to approve.
Okay.
You want to tell everybody what it is on the board? Does everybody see it? Has everybody seen it?
Yeah. Your question is?
What's the timeline on this? I mean, we've already sent a document in. It's questionable whether or not it's the current document. It's missing the Exhibit A.
They'll sit on it. Okay. They'll sit on it.
So there's not a trigger point that we've got to hit.
in the next week, or else we lose our alarm service.
I have no idea what they're going to do about your alarm service. And as far as I know, this contract's not in place. They can cut your alarm service off tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't have any reason to think they would. But you know how inertia is. My guess is they're just going on their merry way. They don't know what it says. They don't know who hasn't signed it. They're not even aware of the fact that it says 2011 in it.
Well, they're going to the minute we raise our hand and ask for it.
They will. And my experience over the years has been they go, okay, well, let's fix it. They don't do anything. They just wait for it to get fixed. They just want to put it to bed. They're not very excited about all the technical stuff I just mentioned. They just want it to go away. But I can't promise you that someone in that office won't have a conniption fit and start freaking out.
So we just don't know.
They've changed managers in there several times in the past.
As a point of information, there are several departments that are, you know, not current with their contract. And I guess just for clarification's sake, I took this in thinking and gave it back to you all thinking that this was just a one T that needed crossing. I thought it had gone through an attorney before you all had signed it. So, that I didn't realize. Okay.
Not an issue. I think, okay, personally, I don't know how you feel about it, Bill, or anybody else who wanted to take a vote on what we should do.
Well, the question here is that this agreement, this waiver allows Bill to
review
this, and even though there's potential for conflict of interest. So,
this is a waiver of that conflict.
Right.
Let's be real clear.
Right.
There is a conflict of interest, technically. That's why I brought this thing.
Okay, so I make a motion that we execute the waiver to sign so there is no conflict of interest in that. So
you're waiving it.
We're waiving the right to claim that there's a conflict of interest.
We can't say he goofed up and he was conflicted when he was.
I make a motion to sign the waiver.
Second.
Russ, you got it? You got the motion?
Yep.
Moved by
Luke.
Chuck.
Oh.
Seconded by Greg.
All in favor?
Dude. Oh, my God. He's running his hand. All right.
Moving along.
All right. Who signs, the secretary or the president?
Got something else. Does it not say?
No. It says by.
The president signs and the secretary attests.
Okay.
Typically. While you're doing that, let's talk about what happens if the city won't sign or doesn't approve or delays it and you want to move forward. I contacted Donna Versa. She's a lawyer down in Tucson that does what I do. And I asked her if she would be willing to represent you in this matter. So as an example, if you had said, no, I won't approve this consent. Or if the city says, no, we won't approve the consent for whatever reason, I need to know what to do about that. And so I don't think that's going to happen at all, but if it did, I didn't want to leave you hanging, so I called Donna.
He attests.
And said, Donna,
make copies.
If Walker Fire wants, are you willing to represent them in the review of this thing if I have to get out? She said yes. So if you want, you can authorize me to send it to her. To do what I would do. In other words, in the event Whittington is conflicted out because the city won't approve the consent, he's authorized to forward this to Donna Versa for review.
Okay.
She would charge the same hourly rate I do. She does fire stuff like I do. She hasn't seen the agreement, even though I have, so there'll be some additional time if she had to do it. But that's the other option. And if the city says no, we're not signing this consent. I can't imagine why they would, but if they said no to that, you got to do something.
Right.
And that's what I would suggest you did.
Well, if
it happens.
Yeah.
It's unlikely to happen anyway.
Yeah, but if it did, you either have to get together and meet and resolve the problem or authorize me right now to ship it to her if they say no.
You want
to
do it?
Hang on to it.
Deal with it now or hang on to it?
Hang on to it.
Hang on.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And we'll hang on to it. So, in other words, what we're agreeing to is say, we're going to ask you to do it, and if there is a problem,
come back and
Great.
Okay.
Anything else about the alarm contract?
Any other legal stuff that you want to bring up?
I know I've reviewed your articles now. There's a series of things that are typically put in the bylaws and not the articles. It really shortens the articles down so you're less expensive when you publish your modifications. Put that up to a couple hundred dollars. I'm assuming that's okay with you to move stuff that's really bylaw intended instead of article intended. Anybody have a complaint worry about that?
No.
I wouldn't. I mean, yeah, it'll all be there, except the stuff that should be in the bylaws is in the bylaws, and the stuff that should be in the articles is in the articles.
Okay.
Because, you know, the articles cost money every time you tweak one of those. The bylaws are free.
Yeah, give us a heads up about what you think that is in your letter.
I'll redline them in.
Okay.
You know, I'll just let you see it. You can decide if you like it.
Okay.
And you have the latest one in your email.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll incorporate that into
the
document. I have a funeral I have to go to, so you know, if anything else for me, I'll make a break.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you for coming and your advice.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. It's nice to be out here again. You guys got a little more ice than we do in town.
A little more.
I forgot to winterize my boat yesterday, so I'm going to go see if I still have it.
Don't blink, it'll be gone by afternoon.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Watch the ice on the way out.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'll be back in touch with who? With my red line version. Do I copy Chuck or the whole board?
The whole board.
Okay. I'll make a letter to you since you were my contact, and I'll just copy everybody on the board.
It's Walker-Board at Walker-BOD at WalkerFire.org. Gets everybody right to put the end of that short meal there.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Thank you. See you guys.
Yeah,
bye.
Website. Chris, we have sort of adopted Chris as our new web administrator.
Yep.
ABCs, in case anybody's not familiar with Chris. and he has put together a whole new site, taking from the existing site.
Right.
Moved a lot of the information over there, and we tried to simplify it. Our site basically has been one that's been band-aided over the last 10 years, and now we have something that we can start from scratch with. And I think all the board members were sent out a copy of that and took a look at it. I don't know if anybody's had any criticisms of it or any constructive things, but I think Chris mentioned to the board in his letter that basically I think around the 20th of November we're due for a new bill on the next
one and one,
and if we can get this installed before that, we should be just perfect. And he's done a great job with it.
Okay. All right. The Russ has been. Well, you want to talk about? Have you had contact with Chris this since?
I've talked to Chris a couple times about things that need to change on there. It's things like typefaces, links to the old websites, things like that. But it's cleanup stuff. I've also asked him to allocate a space where I can place the audio files so that people can listen to the board meeting as we started doing just this last month. So he's agreed to do that. He's going to provide me an FTP site where I can just upload the file. Can download as they need. So there's still more work. There's still some organization pieces that have to be done, but again, it's all cleanup stuff.
I think that Joyce has been in touch with you, and you talk about they have the eye for the colors, the combinations, whether it's easy to read, hard to read, and those sorts of format things. And there'll be some discussions with Chris about that.
Okay, and a couple other items. Number one, we also discussed giving. And I think Lynn we were talking with Nick. We can get a Weather Underground on the site, so all we have to do is, it's free, we can get a stamp for the Walker area and have that placed on the site. And in addition to that, we had this short discussion with Nick about putting a camera here at the station so that we could access it right on the website.
There are already cameras here.
Well, there are, but I mean, so that we could actually...
Sure, they just have to tap into it.
And I think... and other than that, I understand what you're saying about the typefaces and things, but I think you've had discussions with Chris on some of this stuff too. And knowing full well what I do from work about webmasters and stuff, you know, they like to run the show. Committees to them are like extraneous.
Mm.
Not that they do everything right all the time, because they certainly don't, but I think that's the way you put it out to everybody. So they say, okay, do you like it? Can you read it? Is this work, does that work? And, I mean, frankly, I just think if I would even make a motion that we give him the authority. If he needs to do that, we don't need a committee to do that. So maybe we need to not use the committee and just have input into the thing to Chris. That's my suggestion.
And Chris had told me, too, that he's not a content person and had, you know, had wanted other people to contribute to content, and I think that's what kind of Joyce and I are going to kind of look at, is providing that to him. Really, the content is just giving it to him. He puts it in the form. I mean, to that extent, that's fine. And,
yeah.
And that makes it easier on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he also talked about giving giving certain people certain privileges on there that they can do that, so I can upload the files and things like that I need to, which makes perfect sense. Outside of that, you know, that's fine. I mean, if we want to change pictures, things like that, that content should go, yeah.
And I think, yes, and I think that Greg also had raised an issue about putting PayPal on there so we could pay our dues by credit card online if we wanted to do that, and I think we can do that. It's not an issue. We just
I think all those things are coming together to be able to plug into this thing. Whether or not you need a motion to, you know, appoint him that, I don't know if that's necessary. But what we do need to do is make sure that the web is not held captive by an individual. It has to be, there has to be more than one person that can do the things that needs to be done, because, you know, we find ourselves time and time again with the circumstances where if the person who has the keys isn't available for whatever reason, he's in Europe or he's off, you know, doing whatever else it happens to be, not that he's just withholding it, it's not available, that there is somebody else that can step in and do it. And I think that's one of the reasons for having, you know, Russ to give the kind of access that he's talking about. And but like this one and one thing, we don't know how we're going to get the web hosting from 1&1 off into Chris's control. You know, that there's still mechanical things that have to happen that Chris doesn't have access to yet. So those are the kinds of issues, and he agrees, but I had this discussion with him, is that there will be a group, committee, whatever you want to call it, that everybody in that circle will have access to it with only one person actually controlling it, but that if something happened to Chris or wasn't available, then somebody else could step in and do the things that need to be done.
Okay, so then who has appointed this committee, or who is going to be on this committee?
Well, the committee already exists. We have a committee of Steve, Chris, Russ, Matt, Joyce, and who else?
That was it.
Okay. Of people that are familiar with the workings of this thing, and we haven't transitioned from the single point control into, you know, where everybody has, you know, some information or some ability to deal with it. Chris has been trying to talk to Steve about it, and it just hasn't happened.
Well, so I've had a lot of communication with Chris about this.
Yeah.
So Steve basically is...
He's not answering.
I don't think he really gives a rest behind that thing. So
right.
As far as I'm concerned, we can make a short statement to Steve and say, thank you very much. You've done a great job. Okay,
sure.
We're out of this. Secondly, Chris has on several occasions indicated to me that I understand where you're going with this, but, you know, I don't know how the rest of the board feels about it, but he basically is, yes, he will accept suggestions, and I think if we made a motion to make Chris the web administrator in this, with the idea that we would have another contact or two, he's pretty much indicated that he doesn't really need this committee.
Well, you're just saying you want to have access in an emergency basis.
If
he was sick or died or went on vacation and we had to put something up.
Yeah.
So we just have to have an alternative way to get into it.
Right.
I'm just saying, I don't know that the committee is an important factor. You can give Russ access because he can put his things on. You can have Vic or Greg or somebody have access on, you know, we can have access to it, or you have access, but from the, and I've had a lot of communication with them, from communication I've had, webmasters in general, they want to run the show. They're not interested in a bunch of people telling them or having access to this. They don't like people in there if they don't give them permission.
And that's fine, because we wouldn't even all agree on every aspect,
right,
if it should be blue or red or on the left or the right as
right.
a committee. So as long as it's not glaringly misrepresentative or non-functional, I don't think we...
Well, from a content perspective, whatever goes up there should come through this board.
Yeah. Well, I think he's saying that's content. He's saying he's not in charge of content. He's access and...
Let's put it this way. When you establish a job like a web administrator, whether you have a database or you have a website, you know, that person wants to have as minimal amount of interaction with others on that as possible, because they always fear that somebody's going to go in there and make a plug-in or a screw-up, or it's going to screw something up, and that's really where they're coming from.
I'm not talking about access like that. I'm talking about the ability to do it right. Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Okay,
so why don't we do this? Because on one hand, you could look at this as a contract. We're contracting Chris, and
yes,
he's now an employee, and we're our employee vendor, for example, and if that's the case, then he's going to administer it the way he needs to,
right,
or any vendor would. The control, though, as far as content and what we tell the webmaster needs to come from the board. Now, whether it's committee, you know, I think what's in my mind where we're sitting right now is I saw the mock-up, right? I'm assuming it's a mock-up. Went in, used it. It seems like it's fine. We can argue whether it's too dark or doesn't have enough colors. That's
mm-hmm.
fine. But I think all the elements are there. If you have some issues with regards to the technical part, I think you have a conversation with Chris. You mat it out and we move on.
Sure.
But what we probably do need is some kind of a statement that says, okay, this is what we expect out of this process, and for the, you know, for the protection of the board and the community, is that, okay, how many people do have access, and what's the purview to go in there? And one of the issues that we've had in the past is, and it's been a challenge for the webmaster as well, is what can I put on there? Because if all of a sudden he thinks it's okay and puts it in there, and it becomes not okay, then that's a risk and that's a responsibility we really don't have to lay off something like that. So I think what we need to do is articulate what this job scope is.
Doesn't he have a contract? Because we're paying a little something. Doesn't he have a contract?
We haven't discussed
that. That's what we're discussing.
What we should be doing.
The fee structure is that we're paying him whatever the monthly fee is or the annual fee, or the hosting, and then the web name is a different, and he wants to change the name, domain names, back to GoDaddy, get it out of 1&1. We see the problem with what was going on with 1&1. So those are the kinds of changes that he can make as the administrator.
Right. And that's fine, but what we need to understand is who owns that.
And that's why.
So all of a sudden he goes away, we're going to be chasing our domain name somewhere.
Right. So that's what I've had that discussion with him for sure, and he agrees that the WFPA owns the domain name, and the email addresses that are used when they're sending notices are WFPA, webmaster at WFPA or president of WFPA or secretary of WFPA, rather than an individual that's listed as it has been in the history. And that's where we've run into these problems. So,
Greg's existence.
You want to do that? You want to draft up something now as we're sitting here? You want to do it over time? Take some time to do it?
Well, what we do is we pull Chris in and see if he's got a contract that we can use.
Okay.
And start from that point.
Okay.
But the other thing, I think, Russ, you can help with that, Chuck, and anyone else on the board, is what do we see as the purview of the responsibility of the board and this communication or this dialogue that goes back and forth with our vendor?
Scope of
service. So, if it's you and it's the backup and there's some protection of the board, in that if Chris all of a sudden goes away, you still have some level of access we can come back in. And the day-to-day stuff, for example, we could end up paying Chris $1,000 a month if there's too much activity and so forth. How do we dole that out, for example, management of the address list?
And we should have a list of the passwords, the sites.
Right.
Any keys.
Yeah, I don't think you want to ever lock this up into one individual. I'm not advocating that.
And a process if there's ever a change, how that works.
Right.
Okay.
So
we can work. Let's get.
Well, I'm sure he has a general contract with other clients that outlines the concerns and general recommendations. We're not starting from scratch, so maybe we get what he has and then amend, return, you know, change, whatever.
Okay.
But he's, that's his business. I'm sure he's not unique what our concerns are.
We'll deal with it next month.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, he's going to continue, and we should be online here shortly.
Do we have a launch date, though?
Can yeah, 20th.
So that is the launch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trying to hit that.
Great.
Are you guys going to have a question and answer thing after this meeting?
Yeah, of course. Always.
But you're not allowed to because it snows
today. I know.
Okay. Through the website? Any thoughts?
Who is, just
Scott. Any thoughts?
I'll contact him, and then we can say, well, we'll sit down with the, you know, as
yeah.
A, okay. All right, I'll come.
Not next weekend, though.
No, no.
You'll be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Russ?
No additional.
Okay. All right, community announcements. Any upcoming events from community announcements?
And community questions.
Okay. But anything happening, you know, no Red Dog, no coffee donuts, no nothing like that?
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet. Are you planning on doing something like that?
I don't know. I've got to talk to my partners
in crime. Okay. All right. So now the public forum. Myra, you see. You have
okay, something. I had a question. It seems to me, and I don't know why, but it seems to me that this is no longer a volunteer organization. If that's the case, where are you getting all the money for this stuff? It seemed to me that we had attorneys that were going to take care of stuff, and now Bill Langston, the most expensive person on the earth, is doing all this little stuff when we have attorneys here that volunteer to do it. That's number one. Number two, I never heard of, it's the first time, really, that we've hired somebody to do our webmaster thing. I guess we're just richer than shit. I mean, we've had great webs before, and all of a sudden, and here's another thing, if you guys have a lot of input as to getting into this thing, you're going to have junk, and we're going to be paying for it. If you have something to add to this, and I don't even know who Chris is, I never heard of him. But, I mean, why are we paying for all the stuff that we had volunteers doing it before?
Okay.
I mean, this is, you guys are okay. Spending money like it's water.
Do you have any other questions?
No.
Okay. Stephen? Anybody else? Gene?
On the website, if we wanted to put up a page of, like, Walker sales items from our T-shirts and stuff, is that a possibility?
Okay.
I mean, we have enough.
Yeah, but you're
going to
be paying for that.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Gene?
Well, this will be back to the truck.
Okay.
That automatic transmission has lots of good things. We have people at the police department that can't drive clutch vehicles.
Yeah.
And we've already broke, is that the one we broke the drive shaft on that house fire a couple of years ago?
Yes.
The torque converter will change all that to make it easy to get those things up and down that hill. I don't believe the transmission will last as long, but it will be a real plus for us to have an automatic transmission.
Okay. Anything else? Hey, Myra. Let me answer a couple of your questions, and then the other board members can ask you if you want. Volunteers. We do have attorneys that have helped us with this. And in fact, this alarm contract, Karras did look at it. And we did have questions when we sent it back to Prescott last year. There were questions about this, whatever he had a big word for this, you know, 10-year commitment for asset reimbursement or whatever,
capitalization
or whatever it happens to be. It's their boilerplate he drafted, so, you know, it would have. When we were talking, and so they are helping us as much as they can, but at the same time, the decision of the board has been that Whittington is the corporate lawyer, and he will be. Karras did the articles of incorporation, the new articles. Now we send it to Whittington. We'll send it to Whittington for his review because he is our lawyer, and the big work about designing it and has already been done. He just reviews it, and like you, as you heard, he's going to redline it. Now, the expense of the web, we're talking about the hosting fees, which we pay anyway. We are not paying Chris anything for his work. He has a web hosting company, and his company we'll host it for whatever the fee is. He's charging like $50 a year.
And that fee is a lot less than he charges at other places.
That's right.
And
yeah.
He's a Walker resident, too.
Oh, that's what I never.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Myra.
Some outside.
No, room. And no Myra. The reason, Steve Dvorak was when the trauma was going on. There was a guy named Steve Dvorak who came forward and helped with the whip, okay? And he did a yeoman's job. And he took the time. The web was a mess. As much as you'd like the people that were involved in it, behind the scenes, underneath the work that it took for them to get in and do things on the web, because it had been patched together over the years, was a lot. He was in that thing, what did he say, Russ? He was in there 25, 30 times a month.
Yeah.
Just to make simple adjustments to the website. And so what Chris has done is he has remodeled it and changed, taken all that stuff out of it, and he spent a lot of time in there doing that stuff. But he is a Walker resident. I didn't tell anybody who Steve was for many, many months just because I didn't want him to have to bear the brunt of what was happening at that time.
Okay.
Things have changed now. Chris has been around. He's very supportive. He comes to the bingo. He comes to the pancake day.
I know who he is.
Yeah. So and he has been very, very positive in his approach to this. And when we asked, when Steve, we got this group together because Steve was starting to have other issues.
Yes.
So we tried to move in, but we didn't want to do the same thing that had been happening in the past when all of a sudden there's a big push and the guy goes falling off a cliff. We don't want to do that anymore. I mean, it just doesn't want to do that. Okay. So it's not that it's an expense to operate it. Okay. So
let me add one more thing. I think I was the source of that when I said $1,000 a month. I'm jumping way ahead. He is not charging that. We've paid for the last 4 years that I'm aware of probably $1,000 a month just in the web hosting and
a year.
Web hosting and access and domain stuff, and whether any of the other webmasters, that's what they were using, the same one. They were also using the same platform, which is a problem because every one of them can probably tell you it's not the easiest one to use.
Right.
And when we have somebody quit, we have to find somebody that's really an expert to be able to use it. So what we've done is we've moved it, at Chris's recommendation, to a platform that's much more usable, much more understood.
If it's simple, it'd be great.
It's a simpler one. And it's one where we can take pieces of it, so
mm-hmm.
a volunteer like Ross or somebody can still work with parts of it. And so that $1,000 a month is
a year.
The example that I used was $1,000 a month. That number,
you
know, when
I Auntie Mai had a heart attack over
yeah.
here.
And when I threw that number out, it's because Chris will do this for
yeah.
this cheap fee, which is really what we're paying now. But, you know, we can't abuse that either.
Well,
this is his business.
Sounds better than $1,000
yeah.
a month.
Right. And so what I was saying is we've got to keep it manageable, and that's why it's important that we have these lawyers.
My only other suggestion is that you point somebody from the board to work with him so that
yes.
in case he,
yeah.
instead of all of you guys, being
yeah.
able
so
to have
be,
access.
This will be cleaner going forward, and if we have to find somebody, it's a cleaner platform.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up.
Now, with regards to Bill, though, and you've mentioned
yeah.
the comment, and that's what the board has done over the last 3 years, is we limit the access, and we get Karash or anybody else for that matter that has that expertise, and then we finally have them bless it. Our bill last year was $1,800. I think that's all we spent
yeah,
with the bill, and that's where we had to, that was the bylaws and stuff. And I'll tell you, and nobody, maybe some people don't want to hear it, he charges us $150 an hour. I can't find an attorney in the valley to even chase a fat check writer for $150 an hour.
That's 50%
off. So he's not abusive. He's one of the best attorneys for what we ask him to do in the state. So I just want to put some color on that.
And he came out here today with credit.
Yeah. It's very specialized knowledge.
Yeah. Only two people
are
doing it. Yeah.
Okay. Gene, I think that there's big support for putting an automatic transmission in that truck. And my thought was that it wasn't possible to do. You guys tell me that it is. It's possible, unless it's going to cost $15,000, and then you're going to have something different.
A couple thousand, I think, more than he's quoting you, I bet.
But we'll find out.
I'll come back with a number to you guys.
Yeah.
And look at that.
Yeah.
It's a good point, because
if I can get
a lot of people that don't drive stick shifts.
I've had to stop on Frampton one time when I was going to have a head-on with some idiot coming around the corner, trying to get that thing to go without, you know, falling down the hill. You know, automatic, it's
sure.
No big deal.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else for the automatic transmission for Glenn or for Gene? Because Glenn wants to say something. Glenn?
Yeah. Nobody mentioned anything about medical. And here's two medical people. I didn't hear anything brought up. Is there anything happening in the middle of medical?
Can I answer that? Now, one of the things that I have, we're sort of prioritizing, and that we've been talking about putting a plan together, is putting a series of
AEDs.
Heart stations across the whole place where you could do it. We can put defibrillators through the whole area. To me, one of the biggest serious medical things that could happen is heart attack up here. Even if you break your leg, it's not an emergency. You know, if you take an extra 10 minutes to get into the hospital, it's not a big deal. But what we're going to be putting together is a plan to have defibrillators probably from the potato patch on through to the end here, all of them within 5 minutes of each other, doing a special fundraising on that. Because, again, that's life and death. It's more important than bee stings and some of the other things. They're not going to have an alternative. So I sort of put that as one of the top priorities. We wanted to survey the people in Walker as to what their concerns are. And once we do that, we can say, okay, here's, as a board, what we recommend. Here's what the community wants. Here's what it would take. But that's sort of the direction we're going for medical at this point. Does that sound like something you think would fly?
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, we'd have to have probably about 15 of them because you have to have it within 5 minutes. And we'd have to have them in people's houses that would have to be trained how to do them and have someone there all the time. So if the neighbor has a heart attack, they have access to it. But I think that would actually save lives eventually here. I've had, in my years up here, probably three people I've dealt with that have had heart attacks. Now, and that's been part-time for most of my life. So,
there's a lot of hair on that. We got to figure out what it's going to be.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so,
that's
but
more
that's,
than in the city.
Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, that's cheap. One other thing I just wanted to ask, are we going to put the... When we take this website live, are we putting the newsletter on? Are we going to have that on the...
Mm-hmm.
It's just possible. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Anything else for the order? Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Third.
Greg. Greg Stava moves. Chuck Bauer seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yeah, I was going to tell you to come down and have some scotch and play pinball.
So,
you know,
here.
Yes,
I did. But